Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And James Pierre jumps up and brings it down.
Man, I'm just appreciative, man. Start having linebackers go down. That period of time when Patrick Queen was unavailable to us was uncomfortable. But that's just the component of it. That's why it's the ultimate team game. I'm just appreciative of the collective efforts.
Mike Tomlin scores another win over the Ravens. He's beaten them in 9 of 12. The Steelers, despite having very bad odds to win the division when the season started because of the Joe Burrow factor in Cincinnati and the Ravens having apparently the greatest roster ever put together in NFL history, thought to be at best a wild card team this season, now it would take an epic collapse to lose out on the AFC North and the Steelers' first AFC North crown since 2020. Following this 27-22 win in Baltimore on Sunday. The Ravens are leaking oil bad. They have an impossible schedule in the final month of the season.
The Steelers could win the division with an 8-9 record, Pony.
The Steelers have the second easiest schedule in the AFC the final month of the year.
What would we say about Tomlin if they actually did just drag themselves in at 8-9?
Yep.
Get a home playoff game, pull a Seahawks with the Beast Quake and win it?
Good season is what I would say.
You think Mike would be sitting there in his office going, "Ah,
here's why I would say that. If I ding them for 13-3 and lose into Jacksonville, sure. I got to give them credit if they get the divisional round, even if their record was 8-9.
That's sound logic. I have nothing to argue with there.
Mike Tomlin, we learned, and I don't know why it took so long, we learned over the weekend that he doesn't have 2 years left on his contract. He only has one, and 2027 is a team option. And Adam Schefter's big scoop was that the Steelers needed to make a decision on that option by March 1st of 2027. And he said in this story, quote, "There will be organizational meetings and decisions that occur, but not until after this season with a full body of work for all appropriate parties to review, including Tomlin." And so I thought going into this game, oh my God, there is the real possibility that this is Mike's final year here. Because if the Steelers fade and don't want to pick up that 2027 option, think the optics are bad, think that this has maybe run its course, how is Mike going to feel about being a lame duck at 2026? And he might at that point want to look to see what else is out there. So those are the kinds of thoughts that were running through my head watching that game. But now, barring some kind of collapse, they are going to pick up that option, even if they get beat in the playoffs. And the reason why I say that is because we know what the company motto is. We know what the Steelers' mandate is. They begin every season with the goal of winning the AFC North. And if they win the AFC North, then they're going to look at it as mission accomplished. Even if the Bills come in here and beat them in the first round by, say, 10 points or whatever it is. So I think Mike Tomlin locked up at least, maybe not 2 years guaranteed, because we'll see what happens after 2026, but outside of something that has nothing to do with football happening, I don't see any way he's not back here now, Chris. The only thing being if they somehow fall apart and lose to the Dolphins, Lions, Browns, and Ravens and somehow pull off the worst month in Steelers history where they do the opposite of unleash hell.
Why do you think that story leaked or Schefter got that scoop when he did and when it happened? Because I think that's the most curious part of all.
What is your theory on it? Do you have one? You asked it like you had a good answer. Now I'm curious to what you were thinking
about it.
It
just felt like to me with the national consensus being he never looked this tired on the job. He personally, because they always have to frame it as Mike wanting to step aside.
And his ex-player saying maybe this is its course.
It felt like a greasing of the skids by Schefter through them that they know that this might be it for him after next year. And it felt like a way to start getting out ahead of that and almost priming the pump for it, man.
Yeah.
You didn't have that thought?
No,
that,
I kind of do now that you put it that way.
Because like I interpreted it
as... I told you how
as,
I felt. When I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, if they actually slip and trip all over themselves and blow this, he might not be back next year.
I almost think that the result yesterday is irrelevant to this. Maybe he'll be back now next year because they're not going to, it looks like, fumble this away and he won that game. But the larger point to me is independent of the result of that game that they are just like slowly in very much Steelers fashion. We're going to control the narrative here. We'll leak it out to Schefter. Because if it was Glazer, you would think it would be more the Mike side of things wanting that out.
Correct.
There. So it's the team leaking it to Schefter. Just to start getting everybody prepared for the idea that maybe this thing really does have like 1 year left and here comes a weird succession plan that we don't quite
but
announce.
But they righted the ship yesterday.
I just don't think that the Schefter report almost had anything to do with the result of one game.
But if it comes down to making a decision on a year where the ball's in the Steelers' court, what are the factors that determine whether or not they want that option picked up? The team's performance, I think, would be paramount. And now the team is in position
What if they get smacked again? Just humor me. You said their modus operandi would be, hey, we won the division, we get in there and we lose, so be it.
Yep.
But what if it is like a division championship that feels a little hollow because you're 9-8, you scrape in there, you're looked at it, you know, they pay attention to what the media says. You're looked at as probably the weakest team in the AFC and maybe the whole field at large. And you get beat not in a non-competitive game by Buffalo. Let's just use an example.
Yep.
At some point, maybe that plus the combination of the coach looks wearier than he has probably ever on the job and gave such a curious answer about the fire Tomlin chance. It just felt to me like it was about more than it wasn't coincidental that they leaked it when they leaked it. And it had nothing just to do with, are they going to win this game? And then we're going to go from there. That's kind of a roundabout way to say, I feel like the Steelers are trying to prep everyone for the idea that internally they think this might be the beginning of the end for him. Over the next like 18 months. That's how I view it.
So even with a win, you're telling me you still think it's possible they decline that option?
It's possible that he doesn't coach with this team beyond 2026 is what I'm trying to say. And that there might be a mutual parting of ways type of situation. Even if they pick up the option, they say, you know what? No, and we're going to figure out a way.
Okay, well, I think that's possible.
Like, I think they could pick up the option, and that wouldn't tell me a lot about how they really feel, other than they don't want him to look, for optics sake, like he's a lame duck coach.
But Chris,
I'm saying if
they let him know in January we're declining the option, I don't know if he coaches another game for the Steelers.
I agree with that. But I'm saying they might just say we want him for 2026 because we don't want the draft optics. So if we have a new coach or there's like unrest surrounding our coach and that's like the A1 story with us because he's so long tenured, I could see it being we're going to pick up this option, but everybody kind of has a hush-hush sort of understanding of the situation here that it might just be through 2026 and then the clean slate is
they'd still have to make a decision on his next contract.
Right. That's what I'm getting at here. I just felt like that was much more of a broad Steelers story and not a nitty-gritty, how is this game going to go?
I also think it's interesting that this last deal was even written with an option in there. Is that typically how it goes? I never remember
it
all the time we've been talking about Tomlin, there being a situation where they mutually accepted okay, like...
Now, perhaps somebody with the team could correct us on that if we are wrong and let us know that they usually run these as like 2-year deals with a third-year
option. Well, I'm sure
option.
If I tweeted something about it, we'd hear from their PR director in no time about something like that.
Especially
if it rankled Art.
Sharing the information is caring here, and that's why I'm asking for it.
Here's Paul on the fan. Hello, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's good?
Not too much, man. Hey, listen, I'm a diehard Steelers fan like you guys. Been in Pittsburgh my entire life.
Yep.
I really, really have no faith in Tomlin because of the past. Like, he keeps, especially doing, like, his meetings after the games when he's like, the standard, we're going to hold ourselves accountable and then come out and lay an egg again the next week like he did against Buffalo. Yeah, he played the Ravens great. Why? Because he knows them. But if you look back at the Buffalo games,
but they know him too.
Understandably so, but we got the blessings of some of those calls. Now, if you look at the history of the Steelers,
well, wait a minute though. Like, what calls did they really get here that would make you feel like the Ravens got robbed and the refs gave the Steelers an early Christmas present?
Let's talk about the 15-yard penalty that got them the touchdown, right, from the field goal when the guy went over the center.
Right.
The rule is that he has to hit him in the neck or the head.
I agree.
They never touched either one.
I agree.
He never touched either position.
Yes.
So there, we got the benefit of that call.
Most I agree with
the
that.
Most of the times, we're the ones that are getting those calls against us. So we finally got a game that they went in our favor.
But that's one call, and the Ravens could still stop the Steelers from scoring a touchdown there.
Okay, now you guys also talked about the drop or the pass that Porter broke up in the end zone.
Yeah.
When a running back is running the ball across the end zone, all it has to do is break the play.
Right.
When a receiver catches the ball in the end zone, or anywhere. They have to take 2 steps and make a football move.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
He took 2 steps. He didn't
No.
Make
he has to
step.
He has to take a third step.
Porter doesn't knock that ball loose exactly when he does, if that third foot hits the ground, that's a touchdown.
I understand that, and it was very close. But again, I'm not complaining about it because it was in our favor.
Thanks, Paul. I don't think it was in their favor. I think they just enforced the rule.
Yeah, I don't look at that as like they got jobbed, the Ravens did, by a bad call. I think it's a dumb rule. I think
applied the dumb rule.
Yes, there's a difference between like a common sense. Is that a catch? Did he catch the ball? Obviously. NFL rules are not common sense. They are codified down to the letter to avoid like gray area.
That's not a bad call.
It's a dumb rule that was applied correctly. If his foot had hit the ground a tenth of a second earlier than it did, and that ball was still in his hands, that is a touchdown.
I wouldn't want the refs to just ignore the rule because they think it's a stupid rule. Apply the rule and then force the NFL to get rid of it is how I see that. And then maybe something like that will never happen again.
I actually don't think that that's a rule they feel like they can change. Believe it or not, I think that's going to be there for a while.
Well, here's an idea, Isaiah Likely. How about you actually hold on to the ball or pull it in so Porter can't knock it loose?
Roman Wilson caught a touchdown like that where he took about 5 steps total earlier this year against the Packers, remember?
Yeah.
And that was rightly adjudicated as a touchdown.
How about when the Steelers, everyone said, oh, well, George Pickens, the same foot touched twice, that should count. No, that's not the rule. Just because your 1 foot taps twice, no, you have to get 2 feet down. 1 foot twice. Remember we said you could pogo stick all the way down the field?
Yeah, didn't a tight end for Dallas say if I pogo sticked on 1 foot all the way down the field, would that not be a touchdown? And
yeah.
They were like, no, by the rules, it's not.
412-928-9370.
We didn't do it for him. I think it's just the outside noise is the outside noise. We keep it out there in-house. It's pretty harmonious because we understand that we all got to be better. We own that, and we're accountable. And, I think when you approach a game like this, it's a game where you can either look in the mirror and say, how can I be better? Or, you're falling flat in your face. So I thought a lot of guys do that today.
Yeah, I love Cam. It's not harmonious. You had guys like Patrick Queen after a loss talking about how the scheme stunk and the coaches weren't setting up the defense for success. You had Aaron Rodgers getting after his wide receivers, their level of focus, their devotion to football, their commitment to it.
You had his tight end, Pat Freiermuth, saying no, everybody's basically showing up, so Rodgers had to clarify his initial remarks.
That's not harmonious. Now, they came together, maybe they channeled some of that. They used it as motivation. They attacked this as an us against the world thing. They all had their own agendas and reason to want to bounce back and prove to people that they're pros and not chumps. Whatever. It worked. They beat the Ravens, and now the Steelers are in control of their own destiny. And honestly, given how flat the Ravens look and what happened to the Bengals yesterday, it would be a disaster if the Steelers don't close out this division. They got Aaron Rodgers playing some of his best football yesterday, which, after his broken wrist and the way he looked for the last four or five games, I wasn't sure that was possible, and that should make people feel pretty good as well, except it didn't make Malsey feel that way. He still thinks Bryce Young is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. Segment brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Their fan beer of the month is Gristhouse's Hazedelic Juice Grenade. Proceeds benefit the American Cancer Society. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's go back to the phones. Here is Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Tried to get you guys last week. So, listen, don't be apologizing to none of this fan base that gave you guys a hard time that you were hoping that they lost. These are the same people, okay, that believe in participation trophies. These are the same people who will go to bat for Mike Tomlin no matter what. And that's going to happen again, unfortunately, after Sunday. At 45-year Steeler fan, I called Austin. I got a hold of him later on at nighttime.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, and he let me talk for 3 minutes. And I said what I had to say. But at the end of the day, okay.
That's a first for Austin, letting anybody talk for 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to be honest. I let Mike Tomlin have it pretty good.
Well, there's at the end of the day. Come on, Lou. What do you think we would expect? What? That you were giving like a sung Christmas card,
Lou,
to Mike Tomlin?
Lou, do you have an open mind here, though? They're probably going to host a playoff game for the first time in a half decade. And the quarterback might be able to go rogue and overcome Mike Tomlin's failings and cook up a win. I mean, I don't rule that out after watching yesterday's game.
Yeah, and neither do I, but you also got to be a realist, okay? It was a combination of three or four things, in my opinion. You got a first-ballot Hall of Famer who gave his all yesterday, all right? That was obvious. You did get some help by the refs, but at the same time, we're giving up 200 yards rushing again, all right? Things that if you look through what we see, I mean, you know, there's still some problems going on with the team. Now, I predicted they would lose, but I also said that I wouldn't be surprised if they won. Why? Because history tells us that. Every single time this man's back's against the wall or the heat gets turned up, you see what you've seen on Sunday. However, what they usually do after that is they'll lose against the Dolphins. That's what happens under this coach. And if you look at the way the Dolphins are playing, that coach is supposed to be fired 2 months ago. They're actually winning games, four or five in a row.
They played one of the least competitive games you'll ever watch against the Jets. That game was completely...
Well, they're running the ball at everybody
game,
right
that
now.
That game was absolutely over with 10 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, and one other thing, too. I told you guys about the prop bets that I've been doing, right?
Yeah.
Three out of four again yesterday. Here what they were. One of the easiest of all time, Roman Wilson, under 1.5 catches. Check.
Well, he didn't play. He wasn't even active.
Okay. Whether he was or he wasn't, he wasn't getting over 1.5. If you paid attention, you knew they were going to have the other two guys playing. All right. I also had Gainwell, under 27.5 rushing yards. That was easy, in my opinion. I had Henry, over 83 yards rushing, not one. And the only one I lost was an anytime touchdown with Henry, which was close three or four different times. But at the end of the day, listen, man, I'm like Donnie. It's almost impossible for me to watch this team and root against them, especially against the Ravens. But at the same time, too, I know what a victory entails for us in the long term, which is what you just said, Andrew.
Exactly. So if this win got Tomlin's contract extent or option picked up, then you are not feeling good about it. Then you are not in a chipper.
One word will describe it for me: nightmare.
Thank you.
Wouldn't this be a Pyrrhic victory for Lou? They won the battle, but in the war for him to see Mike Tomlin no longer the Steelers head coach,
Chris,
it's the wrong way.
That's why I told you and told everyone on Friday and got a ton of crap for it that I was rooting for the Ravens. But I said there was a scenario in which I would come back around and feel much better about the Steelers and be ecstatic if they won. And that's if Aaron Rodgers in the passing game went out there and actually looked like they were a legitimate offense. And that one thing hit. That one thing happened. And DK Metcalf doesn't look like a $30 million decoy. And Rodgers doesn't look like he wants to go drink ayahuasca somewhere. This was a quasi-playoff game, and those two dudes showed up. And if they play like that in January at home, they'll have a chance against whoever they play. I would even put the Bills in there if they play like that. Here's our guy, Vic in Hazelwood. Hello, Vic.
My brothers, what's happening?
Hey, Vic.
What's going on, Vic?
Hey, listen, Multi, I don't know if you guys almost got in trouble for your ads over the radio, but I know I got in trouble because of your ads, because my girl was listening to it one day on the radio, and she insisted that I go ahead and get some, and I got some of that stuff, and guess what? Now, instead of Thursday nights, it's like Tuesday and Thursday nights. So I'm telling you, this is some crazy mess, man, and I don't appreciate it. I just don't really be bothered with all that. Next thing.
Okay.
That whole thing with the catch, let me just tell you, I know a rules official. He said they kind of blew it because once the first step is down, the second step is down, he don't have to get the third step down. He just needs to make a football move, which he was doing. I'm glad the Ravens didn't win, but he made a football move.
Wait, what was the football move that he was doing?
He was, the third step was in process. He was one, two, and the third step was moving forward. He didn't get it down. He didn't have to get it down. He just didn't.
I've always interpreted as he, in fact, did have to get it down. If he gets it down, it's a catch.
The way it's written is he's got to get the...
I love you guys. I'm not going to argue with you. Read the rule books. But then the last thing is, I don't care if Tomlin won the Super Bowl, the Puppy Bowl, the Soul Bowl. He needs to be fired at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you, Vic.
I guess Vic's, what, his girl?
Vic, yeah, that's really the main...
If it starts to encroach on Monday Night Football, Vic's just going to call it off.
The rule interpretation, I'm sorry. I've not heard one person look at that rule and say the Ravens got robbed. Here's Gene Steratore's explanation.
Even though we're in the end zone, fellas, remember, in order for this to be a completed catch, he must complete all three elements of the catch. Likely has possession. We saw 2 feet down. Great look here. Possession. What? 2 feet, but he has to have the time to make a football move or a football move. It's that element right there that they are ruling he did not finish the third element.
Wow. Oh, Jim, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid rule. I thought it was pretty obvious. Dumb rule, but if you know the rule, you know that it was correctly applied.
I'm surprised we got so many Steelers fans who are calling in and saying, yeah, the Steelers did catch a break.
Isn't that because a lot of them probably were just hoping they would lose even if they didn't admit it to us?
Maybe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen to Starkey on Wednesday to learn about his baseball card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie and Joe will be broadcasting live from the Baseball Card Castle on Friday for a football Friday. I'm thinking the card of the week will be Kyle Schwarber.
You think he'll be signed by then?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Sealed, delivered.
And Bellinger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why stop there?
And Alonso. Alonso, Bellinger, and Schwarber.
Trade for Ohtani while you're at it.
Maybe Mookie Betts. He could play all over the field.
Maybe, you know, Mookie Blaylock.
Utility guys.
Big things are brewing at the winter meetings. All right, Donnie, your game balls. I'm assuming three Steelers?
Yes.
Two offensive players and one defensive player?
Yes.
All right, I'm excited to hear the order.
I feel like there could be a hipster defensive player.
Game ball number three.
Would Brandon Echols be the hipster defensive player? Because he's getting one.
That was the hipster defensive player. Holy crap.
We got all over the Darius Slay signing last week, which obviously is fair game. He was an awful signing for them. But here's somebody who they just kind of pulled somewhat off the scrap heap. He's been one of their best players back there. Him and James Pierre. Solid.
I think it's just like Deshaun Elliott from the year before.
He's been rock solid.
The less heralded guys have been the better player.
Yeah, I mean,
Darius Slay doesn't even want to play football anymore. The Steelers killed his love for playing ball.
I mean, Echols is all over the place.
By the way, he had
big plays yesterday, a sack. I mean, he has the big breakup in the end zone on Flowers.
The next time Mike, by the way, tries to like bend Omar or Andy's ear about like signing a very old cornerback, somebody, no offense, Pony, I'm about to say something that'll make you a little sad. Somebody needs only to show him Darius Slay's body of work here and Patrick Peterson's of work here. And just be like, Mike, we're going to take that. It's like taking the steering wheel away from grandma when she's like 88 years old or whatever.
Here is Cam Hayward on that red zone defense.
You know, we understood there were going to be some big plays, but at the end of the day, you got to bow your back and understand that we're not going to give up 7 points. You know, we're really going to fight for three, and if we can, we're going to get zero. And I just love the approach by our guys today. You know, Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Queen, TJ, our leaders amongst really took ownership of that and just stressed that. No, we're going to make big plays in those big moments.
Ravens were 2 of 6 in the red zone. Donnie, game ball number two.
Aaron Rodgers bounces back with one of his best games as a Steeler. I don't know if it tops what he did in week one. There's another game in there where I feel like you could probably slip it in. But, I mean, he, in a moment where the entire team needed it, and certainly he did, because we're a week removed from thinking, like, man, this guy, it might be end of the line.
Yep.
It finally might be it for A-Rod. I mean, he has a pretty vintage performance. And I mean, he hit the discount double check. First time in over a decade, we got it.
He said he was feeling good today. Well, now it's yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, some games you feel better than others. I was just telling the linemen, you'll understand this when you're 40. You know, some days you feel better than others. Wake up and there's no specific reason why, you know. Thinking like, what did I do last night? Did I sleep wrong or whatever? But some days you feel great. Other days you feel maybe just good. Today I felt great. Maybe because it got such a beautiful grass field. But I felt good moving around there. And then to be able to run in a touchdown, it's been a long time there. That was in no way the play at all. It was a play to Johnu, and the whole left side just caved in. I started running and realized I had two larger humans chasing me that I maybe was equal to or slightly faster than. So that was nice to get in the end zone.
I mean, is it a good sign that the quarterback's actual waking up on the right side of the bed might be determinative? Like, he plays like crap, but they somehow get into the playoffs. He has a great sleep before the Bills game.
I honestly think, too,
funny, but kind of too close to real for me.
I honestly think, too, with a broken hand, to hold on to that football just long enough to not let Buchanan rip it away from him is a huge gutty play.
Yeah, I thought that was like legit tough guy stuff.
Kind of like when Ben was pulling the ball away from Terrell Suggs back in the day.
The Ravens get a short field there. I mean, their red zone offense stunk, so maybe they would have still screwed it up, but still. They've got all the momentum, and they're set up shop there, and the Steelers are coming to the sideline like, wait a minute, maybe we are going to blow this game. And to his credit, he was able to do just enough to keep the ball there. All right, I think I know who game ball number one goes to. Donnie?
DK Metcalf. best game as a Steeler. He must have listened to Pony around 3 o'clock on Thursday. I mean,
you're going to take credit for that one? You could take credit for getting in Jackson's head. You could really take a lot of credit this week.
Yeah, I should be put on a pedestal by the listeners and Steelers fans. I agree.
7 for 148, started on their first offensive play, and then time and time again, there he was. I mean, that's the type of stuff you want to see when you're paying that guy that much money. Then they throw him out there to be a gunner on a punt.
Here he is on that.
What went into that? How much experience do you have gunning? And gunning. How did that kind of feel? Drew a
hold on. No, Skull was on the sideline saying his finger was hurting, so I told him, I got you, when I saw him running out on the field, and he went to the other side. I didn't know that part until I got to the sideline, but I took one gunner rep in college, but no, I'm trying to win.
So did you go out and do that yourself? You went out there on your own?
Yeah, if you want to say that, yeah.
Oh, you're telling me Danny Smith wasn't all over that? Did you see him after the game with Jeff Hathorn?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you, Mulsey?
High five in the one guy next
going
to the
nuts.
Truck. Yeah. I will say this. George Pickens, up until this week when he gets his puff piece written about him and then flips out again, he's been like one of the two or three best receivers in the league. If Ben Skoranek was like, man, my finger hurts, I got to go out there and be a gunner.
He'd Pickens, say tough.
Pickens would have been like, all right, good luck with that, man.
For sure.
What are you telling me for?
I did think they overdid, and maybe this was where he got hurt, that one play of Skoranek trying to gun and getting blocked by two guys, and I think Nance was like, this just encapsulates Steelers-Ravens, right. And I'm like, really?
this is just a gunner doing what gunners do every... The Dallas game where the gunner actually, the one guy covering the punt, forced the fumble.
Yeah, against the Eagles.
It's like a 20... he was getting thrown around like a ragdoll. That's a way more impressive gunner play.
Also, Metcalf had the deal with the stomach ailment that was so bad he couldn't even get on the plane. He had to stay back in Baltimore, and for all I know, he might still be there right now. I don't know if it's stomach virus or what, but...
Didn't they trace it back to a hit they thought he took?
So maybe an organ in there might be bruised or damaged?
I thought that they basically... Yeah, oh. they were kind of... If it was Roethlisberger, they'd be like, he has profound internal injuries.
He almost bled out inside.
The doctors realized that if I had gotten on that plane, my organs would have exploded. So, my spleen would have consumed my body.
My game balls were done a little differently. I had Highsmith in there over Eccles, and I had Highsmith second. I had Metcalf third. I had Rodgers one. The filter I run this through whenever I do my personal game balls is, if that game was the Super Bowl, who would get the MVP award? And I think Rodgers would have gotten the MVP for yesterday's game over Metcalf.
I mean, the last time a quarterback had a pretty good game and a receiver won, it was Edelman winning it in that 13-3 game.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Metcalf was a monster. But he didn't score a touchdown. Rodgers ran for one, threw for almost 300.
I think Rodgers running for it probably would put him over the top. Remember when Doran bet Julian Edelman to win MVP of that Super Bowl and won a significant cash
Take
prize?
Take that, fake John and Robinson. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Man, we're doing callbacks to last week now.
Donnie brought up my Metcalf segment. Why not?
We've got everyone
memories.
That
We've got listeners with long memories. That was your Donnie Football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.